You gonna stay awake?
Are you speaking for yourself or your neighbor?
I authorize you to keep those by you awake. That didn't go over too good. You want to know what mercy is? One definition? I think we all have an idea, a sketch in our mind. But in reality, worship is the last book of the Bible called the Revelation. And it's God Almighty, because he knows the end from the beginning, pulling the curtain back and saying, here's what awaits. It's not God doing it. It's God viewing it and saying, this is the way it is. And mercy is that he's showing it to us if we'll listen. We're not going to stand one day and justify ourselves and say, well, we didn't know. Because he would be able to point out 22 chapters and said, I gave you details. I gave you insight. And that's what we're going to be looking at today, these 22 chapters of Revelation. Our text will be in chapter 6, the entire 19 verses. And we'll see how far we go, because I just feel the pull of God. Are you going to have prayer with me in your heart at least as I preach? Hallelujah. Let me say, we will be, the old timers used to say, we will be opening the doors of the church tonight. Anybody remember those things? We've got some people that would like to join the church, and so we'll be doing that tonight. And if you feel like that you're a candidate, be here a little bit early, and we'll talk with you and let you ask questions, and we'll try to give you answers to your questions, and to give you a chance to get in the boat before it leaves the dock. Father, it's with anticipation that we come to your people with the word. And we lean upon you today for you to touch the word and let it be burning in our heart and in our mind. Let us remember that these are not fairy tales. They're symbols, and they symbolize certain things and distinct things. But Lord, the message is, take heed, because the world is under judgment. We'll ask you to move in a special way in Jesus' name. Amen. Can the church say amen? Chapter 1, and I'm just going to go through two or three chapters and give you some highlights. Chapter 1 is a picture of Jesus Christ. And in the midst of a turbulent world, we need to always be anchored on the fact that he is in charge. Earthquakes come, turbulence comes, lukewarmness comes, apostasy comes. But Jesus is unwavering. He is absolutely the same as always. And he has given us an infallible promise. There is not anything taken unto you but what with every trial or tribulation I will make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So chapter 6, verse number 1, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Do you remember the seven seals? So now when we enter this chapter, the church is in heaven. And we'll talk about that in a moment. And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. You've heard the expression, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. This is one of them. This is the white horse. White signifies peace. There is and we're living in the last days. Does anybody believe that? I'll carry it further. We're living in the last of the last days. And that's why I'm here this morning, to proclaim this, so that just in case you're thinking another boat's coming through, you might be wrong. If you're not ready to get on board today, you may not have the opportunity to get on board. There is a limitation. There is a zero line. And everything we're to do, we're supposed to be able to herd people in and get them into the ark of safety. So he heard, I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. All right, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. This is, in my interpretation, in my presentation, this is the Antichrist. There's going to come a time on this earth in the near future when a superhuman being is going to emerge as the head of all the political stuff that goes on in the world. He is not Jesus Christ. He's in the place of Christ. And the world is going to believe him. Can I get a witness on that? The world is going to swallow hook, line. If the world can believe all these cults and everything, they can certainly believe somebody that's called the Antichrist. Amen? Let's get in this. A crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. But there was no bow given him. He didn't have a. He had a defense mechanism, but it was nil. It was not valid. He didn't have a bow for war. Okay, and he opened the seal, second seal, and I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." So immediately after peace comes, there's going to come war. War is going to break out. This world is ripe for war. Not just skirmishes in the Middle East. This world is ripe for world war. Am I talking to you? North Korea has got everybody on guard. They don't know what's going to happen. The politicians don't. The military strategists, they don't have a clue what's going to happen in North Korea. They don't know what's going to happen in Syria. We know Damascus 18 is already being fulfilled, where it said Damascus would be razed. It would be literally demolished. All those things are coming to pass. And if we're not careful, we'll yawn. And we'll just be oblivious to it, but we don't need to be. We need to be on guard, amen, alert, hallelujah. And the second beast, they went forth another horse that was red, and that's war. And power was given unto him that sat upon there to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when they'd opened the third seal, this is after the red horse, after the white horse comes the red horse with war, after the red horse comes the black horse with famine. And I beheld the third beast say, "Come and behold and come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and a three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." You know what that's saying? The elite will have an abundance. The elite will have plenty. But the people like us that are living in that era is going to be starving to death. Amen? And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." Am I following? Y'all got this? And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, famine, starvation, famine. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth. Can you imagine? 7+ billion people, and 1/4 of them would die in the first months of the tribulation period. Am I talking to you? To kill with the sword, with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. He opened the fifth seal, and I saw under the altar of soul the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they beheld, or they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, doest thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given. These are the tribulation saints. They're coming out of the tribulation. They didn't have a white robe. Chapter 7 and verse 14, they had a white robe and they washed it. But this condition did not have. There will be people that's going to miss the rapture. Am I talking to you? Whether you believe it or not, whether the theologians believe it or not, those that are ready are going to go. It's not impossible to be ready. It's not unreasonable to think that you can be ready. Readiness is living in a state of looking, of anticipation. It would be like, you know, somebody called you and said that the driver is going to come with Brinks and back in your driveway with a couple of $1 million. And I guarantee you, you're not going to be watching Channel 9. You're going to be watching the driveway. You hear a noise, you're going to say, "That's the truck right there." When that truck shows up, you will know it. Amen. When the rapture takes place, we ought to be anticipating. Our songs ought to have something to do about the coming of the Lord. Our words of testimony, our sermons ought to be based around the coming of Jesus Christ. The younger Christians, we ought to drill it in their mind that you don't gamble with this. You don't mess with this. This is reality. Hello? Hallelujah to God. white robes were given, verse 11, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. This is man ruling earth. This is not God ruling earth. God is, and the church is in heaven. We are rejoicing. We're shouting around the throne according to chapter 5, casting crowns down before Jesus Christ, calling him Lord of lords and King of kings. But the earth is going to be in chaos. All the pleasure seekers, all the godless people are going to suffer beyond description. And they should, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake. This is a worldwide earthquake that every city on earth is going to be moved. You never, you know, hello, church. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven. You say, Pastor, you don't know, you're scaring our children. They ought to be scared. I'm not trying to give them shock treatment. I'm trying to tell them to live right. Get right with God. You don't have to listen. You can lay your head down tonight and worry, and sleep and not worry one bit about all this. You can take a deep breath and rest in the arms of Jesus Christ and let the world worry about the mark of the beast. Let the world worry about all this because you can be safe with Jesus Christ. Amen. I tell you, when Noah's day came, they were inside that boat. It was pitched within and without. And the people on the inside didn't hear the scream of the people on the outside. But the people on the inside was resting, eating whatever they were eating. And people on the outside were crying and groaning. You can be saved and you can be safe. Amen. It's not an impossibility. Amen. The stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of the mighty wind. And the heaven opened, heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved. This is the early in the tribulation period. Hello. And kings of the earth and great men and rich men and chief captains and mighty men and bondmen and freemen hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the rock, talking to rocks and mountains, said to them, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. And for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Did that strike fear in your heart? If you're ready to go, it strikes concern in your heart, but it doesn't give you paranoia. Amen. Now listen, let me give you a few thoughts. I wrestled in my mind about this because I'd like to come to you in these last few services whooping, you know, glory to God and hallelujah, and so that you could remember we went out with a blast. But I don't want to go out with a whimper either. Amen. If we're gonna have a time, we're gonna need you to join in the cause. Yeah. But I want you to follow what I'm saying because I just believe what I'm saying. Scholars believe, which you and I are students. We're not scholars. Now, you may be a scholar. I know I'm not. I'm a student of the Scriptures. That means I study the Word of God. From Adam to Abraham, they believe, is 2,000 days. How many, when I say 2,000 years equal to 2 days, how many know what I'm talking about? Now, a day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. Do you remember reading that in 2 Peter? So scholars believe that there's two biblical days from Abraham, from Adam to Abraham, two biblical days from Abraham to Jesus Christ, and 2 days from Jesus Christ until now, making a total of 6,000 years. How many remember that the Bible said God rested on the seventh day? We are, by that calculation, we are entering into the seventh day now. And God is going to be resting. Am I talking to anybody? And so we need to understand, on the fourth day of creation, God brought light. 4,000 years from creation, God sent light. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he said, I am the light of the world. Amen. So 4 days into creation, God created light. 4 days of biblical days, God sent the light into the world. And Jesus Christ, by his power and spirit, has been in the world for 2 days now, 2,000 years. Hello? Am I confusing you? Been in the world for 2,000, two biblical days, and we need to get that in our mind. Now, from Jesus to now, there's the 2 days, making a total of 6 days. God rested on the seventh day. I'm telling you, we're coming into the time of God's resting. But there's one thing that's holding back. The next thing on the prophetic plan of God is the rapture. Get that in your mind. You can read anybody's books. You can get everybody's opinion. You can discuss it and everything. But it still comes down that before a spark of brimstone hit Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot's family was out. Before a drop of rain came in Noah's day, Noah's people were in. And before the tribulation starts and before the Antichrist is revealed, the church is going to be caught up. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. We're going to be caught up. Hallelujah to God. Read the scriptures and come to the final book in the Bible. 22 chapters. 22, all the whole Bible goes from Adam right on. But the last 22 chapters in this book deal with the coming of God Almighty in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the mercy of God. He shows us what to expect. He gives us interpretation. If we'll read it with a diligence and a studious mind, he gives us interpretation of what's going to happen. And we need to be careful about it. Amen. Can I get a witness? The Holy Ghost is at work today, shifting man's attention is on the world. And the Holy Ghost is at work today trying to shift man's attention back from the world to the church. The Bible says to be carnal-minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him. Amen. We need to think about Jesus. We need to worship Jesus. We need to pray to Jesus. We need to glorify Jesus. Can I get a witness out there? So this book of Revelation, these 22 chapters, deal with three groups of people. They deal with the Jew. The tribulation is specifically and primarily an object of the Jewish origin. Now, the Gentiles is going to be involved. Y'all are looking at me, God, come. The Gentiles are going to be involved in it, but it is specific. Jeremiah called it the time of whose trouble? Jacob's trouble. I mean, it's like if you stood over on a bridge and leaned over the rail and took a 5-pound rock and dropped it, there's going to be an epic center. There's going to be one area that rock is going to have more impact on than the other, but the whole canal is going to be affected by it. Tribulation is going to be specifically aimed at the Middle East and the land of Israel to start with. There will be house-to-house fighting, Zechariah 14. There will be people standing in their flesh, consuming off their bones while they stand there as a result of nuclear ambushment. It's going to be a horrible time. That's why these 22 chapters are the mercy of God. It's God saying you don't have to worry about all that stuff. There is a way of escape. And the devil lies to us and say, this is all mythology. This is all just theories. This is that. He's lying to you. The word of God has stood the test of time through the years. And it's proclaiming, it's based upon the validity of the scripture. And Jesus said, if I go away, I will come again to receive you unto myself. That where I am, I know he came. Oh, glory to God. Can I get a witness? I know he left and I know he sent the Holy Ghost. And I know he's going to come back again because he kept his other promises. And he's going to keep this promise. It wasn't the desire. Listen to me carefully. I don't think I'm wrong. I don't think I'm making a bad statement. It wasn't the fear. It wasn't the goal of heaven that made me want to get right with God. It wasn't the mansions in glory that made that. That never crossed my mind. It was the idea that if I didn't get right, I'm going to hell. Amen. Am I right? Did that happen to anybody else? It was the fear of hell, the fear of God. I knew nobody had to preach a sermon to me. Instinctively, I knew right from wrong. Instinctively, I knew that if I didn't get my life right with God and I got killed in a wreck or died of a heart attack, I knew I'd wake up in hell, and I did not want to wake up in hell. I'd rather wake up to the embarrassment of people. I'd rather wake up to the ridicule of those non-believers. I'd rather wake up to the scoffers of those who don't believe anything than to wake up in hell. Yeah, but you say, preacher, suppose you're wrong. Well, dear Lord, suppose I'm right. If I'm wrong, what have I lost? If I'm wrong, I've lost the abuse of my body to alcohol, drugs. If I'm right, I've lost the, if I'm wrong, I've lost the reputation. Well, he was a false prophet. No, sir. What do you, if you get a hold of God and you prove there is no rapture, you still haven't lost anything. You lived a good life, a life of integrity. Amen. So God is at work through the power of the Holy Ghost, bringing our mind and our attention back to Him rather than the world. Do you believe that? Now, the Holy Ghost to shift those people. And so He deals with the Jew, He deals with the Gentile, and deals with the church. Amen. And we need to get that in our mind. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. So chapter 1 is a picture of Jesus Christ, and He is in command. Hair like wool, eyes like fire, feet like brass, girded together with a golden girdle about His hand. King of kings and Lord of lords. I'm telling you right now, before you read anything about earthquakes and marks of the beast and the Antichrist, you're going to read about Jesus Christ. You're going to read about the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. You're going to read about no matter what happens, that you're going to hear the voice of God saying, I am in control. Oh, glory to God. Can I get a witness out there from anybody? You'll read about dragons, and you'll read about Lucifer, and you'll read about the man of sin. You'll read about how terrible they are in appearance. But Jesus Christ is in control. Hello? He's in control to the point where He can speak. I don't know what He's going to say. It might be hallelujah, but He can submit. He can summon He can just step out of nothing and lean over the balconies of glory and speak, and the church will come together like a click, and they'll be out of this world. Amen. Can I get a witness out there? I'll tell you, Jesus knows all things, and we see Him before we see the Antichrist. We need to get that in our mind. Chapter 2 and 3 in Revelation deals with church history. And it deals with the dispensations of the church. And it ends up with the Laodicean church, which is the lukewarm church. And Brother Larry done an excellent job this morning talking about passion. And the lack of passion leads to a lukewarm, undisturbed religion. And that's where the church is at today. But in the midst of that lukewarm church, there's a Philadelphia church. I don't know what church you joined, but I joined the Philadelphia church. And I'm not retracting my membership from it. I'm going to stick with the Philadelphia crowd. I'm going to stick with the fire. I'm going to stay with the brotherly love. I'm going to stay with those that are going. He said, because you kept my word, I will keep you from the hour of temptation that's going to come upon the earth. I'm looking for a way of escape. Amen. Am I talking to anybody? Hallelujah to God. So He chose 7 churches out of a cluster of churches in modern-day Turkey. There were more than 7 churches there. There were many, many churches in the area. But Jesus picked this church, Laodicea, and so forth and so on. And He said, now this is the picture of the church age. It's going to be apostasy. It's going to be lukewarmness. It's going and on it goes. But He said to the final church, He said, I'm standing at the door of the Laodicean church, and I'm knocking. And if any man will come, will open up and let me come in, I will abide with him. Hello, church. And at the conclusion, He said it would be a time of apostasy. I mean, I had to get Brother Larry to explain to me, what's that word that you use that dance? The old hokey pokey. I never got involved in the hokey pokey. But for them to show that going on in a church, am I right? For them that shows you the apostasy. That shows you the degradation that goes on in the name of religion. It's an amazing thing how people can be gullible and believe that all that stuff is okay. And it starts off with little walls, maybe. It starts off with a little innocent thing. It starts off with just criminal acts and ungodliness always starts off in little issues. And then you don't feel bad about the little issues. You go to the larger issues, and you don't feel bad about them, and you become a reprobate. Am I talking to you? So chapter 4, the church is translated. You need to understand. Chapter 1 is Jesus. Chapter 2 and 3 is the church. And chapter 4, He said, I heard a voice saying, come up higher. Amen. Just a call. And from chapter 4 to chapter 19, the church is not one time mentioned on earth. Not at all. From chapter 4 through chapter 19, the church is in heaven with Jesus Christ, being rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Because God is just, and He's going to, you're not going to work for God for nothing. He's going to give you wages. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He will honor you. He said, you will in no wise lose the reward if you give a cup of cold water in His name. Amen. So at the conclusion, the church is going to be called up. And do you believe that? Hallelujah to God. Glory, somebody praise him. Glory to God. So we're looking, where we're at right now is the chapter 4, verse number 1. We're looking for the translation, to be translated from earth to heaven, to be in the presence of God Almighty. You say that's a far-fetched doctrine. It might sound far-fetched to you, but it's real. It's biblical. Amen? Jesus, I mean, that's not, men have been called up before. Enoch was called up. He walked with God. As far as we know, if Enoch never cast the devil out, he never performed a miracle. He never saw blind eyes open. None of those things. He just walked with God. And it was not because God took him. What a company of people we're going to be in. When that trumpet sounds, we're not going to be around a bunch of deadheads. We're not going to be around a bunch of failures, a bunch of whatever. We're going to be around the elite. We're going to be around the people of God. Hallelujah to God. Can I get a witness out there? Glory to God. Amen. We got more to go to heaven for than we had yesterday. I can tell you that right now. Amen. So people wonder about the dead. What's going to happen to the dead? He said, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Did he say it? So all through the church age, those bodies are in the, listen to me carefully now. I don't want to lose you. Let me look. Have I got plenty of time? A three-verse majority. People wonder about the dead. What's happened to Uncle John, or what's happened to my father or my mother or some? Jesus is going to speak, and the dead in Christ, you understand that? The dead in Christ shall arise first. Those that died in the faith, those that died trusting Jesus Christ, they're going to be buried. Do you understand when they die, that body and that soul is separated? Do you understand that? I don't want people to be, I mean, I've been to funerals and people said, bless his heart, he's resting in peace. No, he's not resting in peace. If he's in heaven, he's resting in joy. And if he's not in heaven, he's resting in torment. So there's no rest for the weary. But when that believer dies, that soul is going to slip out of that body, just like a hand comes out of a glove. And that soul is going to be with God. Now, before the resurrection, Jesus was resurrected, when that person died, that soul went to paradise. Am I preaching to you? I guess you'd call this teaching or something, but that soul went to paradise. Amen? And when Jesus died, when Jesus was pronounced dead and sealed in the tomb, he left his body and he went to paradise. And there was a thief on the cross beside him, said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And Jesus come down and he quoted Psalm 24, open you gates, you everlasting gates, and let the king. Who is this king? The king of glory. And they open the gates and Jesus walks in and he's got the keys and he says, now, I'm emptying paradise out because I'm going to take you to the Father's house. And the Word of God says in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 14, hell beneath has enlarged itself. See, hello, church, I'm trying to go carefully. Because before that happened, there was a division. There was a good side and a bad side. Do you remember Lazarus? Do you remember the rich man? And you remember Lazarus said, the rich man said, Father Abraham, see those people in paradise today, those people in paradise that are bound as sinners, they have the ability to see, they have the ability to recognize, they have the ability to feel. Can you imagine, here's a heroin addict, for example, and he's addicted to drugs and he ends up dying. His desire for heroin is not stopped. He will spend eternity wishing he could get a fix. Can you imagine the punishment? Can you imagine the sorrow, the heartbreak? Oh, somebody help me out. And Jesus said, you can come out. And the thief that was on the cross beside him said, Lord, remember me. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And that thief looked up and said, there he goes. I've been telling you all about it. That's him right there. That's him. And Jesus leads captive. He leads those that are captive. He leads them into freedom. And it translates them. And now after the cross, are you with me? After the cross of Jesus Christ, when it's established, when the believer dies, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. We know they go to heaven now because when Stephen was being stoned, he was under the sentence of death. He looked up in the heavens. He didn't look down. He looked up in the heavens open. And there appeared unto him, he saw Jesus standing at the Father's right hand and saying, you know, Stephen made his commitment. Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was praying. And as he was praying, suddenly Moses and Elijah appeared to him. They didn't come from beneath. They came from above. Hello? When someone dies today in the faith, they go to heaven. The Word of God says, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. When somebody dies in the faith, they go to heaven. Hello? Amen. I got to hurry. I know y'all getting restless. Somebody say amen. Chapter 5 describes the house of God, and it's going to be a wonderful thing. Now, in the Old Testament, those who died, I've gave you all that. From Calvary on, when a believer dies, the body goes to the grave and the soul. Somebody say amen, help me out. You say, what are you doing this for on Sunday morning? Because I got you here on Sunday morning, I probably wouldn't have you on Sunday night. This seven-year period of time starts with an antichrist, with a white horse going forth. We're in the throes of it right now. We're in the makings of it right now. There's going to be a politician that's going to come out. We're watching some of the ebb and flow of it. There's going to be a politician that's going to step out on the balcony of time, and he's going to have an answer. Nobody, no human being has an answer to the Middle East crisis. They think this, they think that, and it all backfires. But there is someone alive today, somewhere in the world today, that is going to have the ability to create a peace treaty. And when that peace treaty is created for 7 years, and the first 42 months of that 7 years is called tribulation, and the second 42 months of that 7 years is called the Great Tribulation. Amen? And that tribulation is going to be marked with chaotic confusion and bloodshed. People will be, the Word of God, I read it, they will cry to the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them, hide them from the face of he that sits upon the throne. Can you imagine? And for a period of 5 months, people on earth are going to plead to die, but they cannot die. They will be stung with scorpions, tormented day and night, trying to find, pleading, would you let me die? Let me tell you something, right? When God backs off his control of this earth and lets men see what they can do with it, it's going to be a horrible thing. And that's what the tribulation is all about. It's God taking his hand off the steering wheel and saying, okay, you wanted this world, you're going to have it. You're going to have it. I'm going to let you rule it. Hello, I'm just speeding through two or three things here. 22 chapters called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. It gives you an outlay of human history from the eons past right on through. And the greatest book in the Bible that's neglected is the book of Revelation. There's no book that is neglected, that is scorned. Well, we can't study it because it's mysterious. We can't. It's the devil making you think that it's mysterious. He said the way would be simple, that a wayfaring man, though a fool, would not err therein. Don't try to get somebody else's interpretation. Don't dig it down and try to undergird what Dr. So-and-so said. Pray a simple prayer. Lord, this is your book. I'm your child. I want to see. I want to know how to ward my family off. I want to know how to protect my children in this coming age. Can I get a witness out there? 22 chapters, and I've just touched on just a few of them, but talks about in chapter 13, the Antichrist, a mark of the beast is going to be given. Maybe, and there's going to be two men at the middle of that first 42 months, or at the end of that first 42 months. Most people believe they're Enoch and Elijah. I don't know. But they're going to have power to call fire from heaven. They're going to have power over the elements. And somehow or other, at the midpoint of that tribulation, they're going to be martyred. They're going to be slain. And they're going to resurrect. The life of God is going to come back in them. And they're going to be called up. The Bible said this all, listen to me good, I'm closing. The Bible said it's all going to culminate in chapter 14 and chapter 16. It's all going to culminate in a battle. Amen? In a battle. And it's called the Battle of Armageddon. And blood is going to run for 200 miles through the Kidron Valley to the horse's bridle. Approximately 4 feet from a depth of approximately 4 feet for 200 miles. That's a lot of blood. And it's Jesus said, except the Lord shorten those days, there would be no flesh saved. But for the mercy of God, he shortens those days. And he comes back with a shout of glory. And the Bible said, and every eye shall see him. And they will confess. He's going to come back riding a white horse with a sash around him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. We need to understand these are not fairy tales. It's going to end up. But the good news is after the tribulation, after the 7 years, Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years. The Antichrist is going to be cast into the lake of fire. The false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire. And Jesus Christ is going to reign over this earth from the holy city of Jerusalem. And the lion and the lamb shall lay down together. There will be peace in the valley. It'll take 7 years to bury the dead, to clean up the ammunition and the dumps. It's going to be a time. We've got a future in front of us. Am I talking to anybody? Would you stand with me?